Welcome to the My Ministry Mission podcast, where faith's transformative power comes to life. Be sure to check out this episode's show notes. And if you enjoy this topic, head on over to myministrymission.com to find out how to join our community or even become a guest. God has placed a calling to ministry in my heart, and I'm answering that call. My name is Jason, and this is my mission. Thank you for listening and welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Jason McConnell. Let me ask you something. How many leadership books are on your shelf right now? Tony Robbins, John Maxwell, Grant Cardone, maybe a few others. Now let me ask you a different question. When was the last time you opened your Bible? My guest today made that same comparison at a leadership conference a few years back, and what he heard stopped him in his tracks. A best-selling author looked at him and said, "For every quote I just gave you, every one, I can show you the Bible verse it came from." And something in him shifted that day and hasn't shifted back. Alex Lopez is a former high school business teacher of 16 years, a Maxwell Leadership Certified coach, the founder of Real You Consulting, and the author of A Father's Forge, a 365-day devotional system that walks fathers through one page a day of scripture, reflection, and action built around six pillars: identity, discipline, character, strength, leadership, and legacy. He also wrote Forged Sons, a 128-day devotional for young men stepping out into the world on their own for the first time. You can find out more about his books, coaching, and speaking by visiting the links in my show notes for this episode. I hope you're ready to learn more about faith and leadership, because I have a feeling this is going to be a pretty awesome conversation. So welcome, Alex. Thanks for joining the My Ministry Mission podcast.
Thank you for having me here. Wow, that introduction was so good. I don't think you need any more.
Yeah, we're done. No, I'm excited to have you in here. And I love getting things rolling by giving the listeners an opportunity to get to know the people that I have on here. Starting with the favorite Bible verse, Matthew 6:26 is what you sent me. It's a new one for me. It goes, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" So tell me what that verse means to you, why that one kind of stuck with you.
Wow. Yes, that's an incredible verse. And I really like it because I think that it's a never-ending fight internally for me. And I imagine a lot of people were always worried about this and that. And we just can't help ourselves. I don't know if it's just our human nature or whatnot, but we Same. Do worry so much about everything and anything. And for me, particularly when I was still teaching and I wanted to leave the teaching field to pursue entrepreneurship, I was really worried about, obviously, making money and being able to provide for my family and whatnot. And when I heard that that verse, it just really hit close to home. And I literally started looking around, looking at the birds and looking at all the animals. You know, we're so spoiled. We get to stash away and whatnot. But yes, I believe that it's just a great reminder that that God is in control and it's in his hands. And the minute we allow that to sink in and really believe it, then everything is better.
I love it. I love it. So you told your wife you were going to teach for 3 years and then get back to business. And you ended up teaching for 16. I mean, what kept you there? When did you finally know it was time to go?
Well, what kept me there was that I really enjoyed it so much. So initially, I did not set out to become a teacher. My degree's in business, and I was doing real estate, and I was doing well. But then, of course, the market took a plunge, and I just got married, and my wife was pregnant. And so I decided to play the safe route and go into teaching for 3 years. I said, 3 years max, then I'll get back and do what I'm doing right now, which was real estate, right? But it didn't happen that way, you know? The minute I hit the classroom, I just enjoyed it so much. Just really, it sounds really corny, but it is just such a rewarding profession. You really do change people's lives. And it's not without its struggles. Teaching has become harder and harder, but it's still a very rewarding field. What really, you know, brought me to go back into real estate or pursue entrepreneurship. So really when I left, I didn't say that I was leaving for real estate. I said, I'm leaving for entrepreneurship because I do believe that that's just another passion of mine. I've always been entrepreneurial at heart and I've always liked all kinds of businesses. Even when I was teaching for the 16 years, I did have a separate LLC. I always had all kinds of side hustles and whatnot. Once I started seeing a lot of my students succeed in their own ventures, I started getting the imposter syndrome. I'm like, well, here I am teaching business courses, entrepreneurship, telling kids that they have to take risks in life. And I was playing it safe. So once I started feeling that it was time for me to practice what I preach, I decided to make that move.
Yeah. And you had a tough crowd. I mean, high school teacher, man, that's a tough age.
It really is. It really is.
So you've moved through a lot of roles. I mean, teacher, coach, real estate speaker, author. Looking at it all from where you stand now, do you see kind of how those chapters all connected, or did it kind of feel like chaos and you were just stuck in the middle of it?
Well, overall, I've always felt my life is complete chaos.
Excellent. Very perfect.
That is the truth. Well, that is the truth as I see. And what I'm starting to uncover or believe is that it really wasn't chaos. It was part of God's plan. It's just that it seems like chaos because it's not going the way we want it to.
Yeah, right.
But the reality is that everything that I've done through my life has had a purpose. It's been a clear reflection of the decisions that I've made. And that's part of what brought me to where I am right now. Writing this book was really a reflection of my personal growth and how it came to be.
Yeah. And you've actually built, this is incredible. You've built a daily devotional habit that's now, I think when we talked last, it was close to 900 days unbroken, right?
Yes. Correct. Yeah.
For sure. Wow. What did day one of that look like compared to now, to a morning now?
Funny you're asking that question because this morning I looked at it and I'm like, well, you know, I've only got about 80 more days before I hit 1,000. And I'm saying only 80 more days because now it just seems like really close. But day one did not look like that at all. So one of the things that I've struggled with the most in my life is habits, you know, and I think that's probably something most people struggle with. We have, you know, some habits that we do well and some really bad that really control us, right? And so when I first started with that devotional that a friend of mine kind of pointed me to that, I would start and I would keep up for 6-7 days and then I would stop and then, you know, I would start again. I was using this app called the Glorify app, which is fantastic. I have no affiliation with it, but I did, but yeah, but it keeps a streak, you know, it keeps a streak. And so it was really cool watching that, you know, that number get bigger, but then when it would fall off, it was just very disappointing. It was more of a, here I go again. There you are again. I like starting something and not finishing it. Right. And so, I felt like that little counter was a little bit of a double-edged sword, but really the fire that I needed, because it did sting every time that I would stop and my streak started all over. It was a reminder that here I am failing again. Here I am doing the same thing that I've always done, which is say, I'm going to start something, but then I don't finish it. And so it was very frustrating, to be quite honest with you. But luckily, it got to the point where right now it's just automatic. I don't see myself missing it anymore because it's really become part of who I am now. You know, adversity became a goal that I wanted to achieve, that consistency, whereas now it's not just something that I need, but something that I crave. I'm looking forward to waking up early in the morning, every single morning, just so that I can go do my devotional.
I love it. Love it. And you are a father of two sons, and I have kind of an honest question. As a dad, do you feel like you're more or less like your own father?
That's a tough question for me to answer because I just lost my father.
I'm so sorry.
I just lost him July 5th. So to answer that question, I don't think I'm half the father he was, half the man he was. That's definitely the goal. I wish I was more like him, but there's no denying that I am like him in a lot of different ways. And there's no denying that I carry a lot of his values, a lot of the principles, a lot of what I know and who I am. It's because of him. So, you know, I hate to compare myself to him. Anybody that knows my father and me saying I'm like my father, they'd be like, no, I don't think so, right? But just because those are very big shoes to fill. But everything good in me comes from him. So I would love to think that I am like him.
I have a feeling that when your boys become men, get out there and be fathers themselves, they're gonna say the same thing about you.
I hope so.
So let's just get this going, move into some faith questions. You've described yourself as someone who always considered himself a Christian, but faith was kind of more background than foreground for a while. Like it was there, but you weren't really doing anything with it. What did that season look like and what eventually changed it?
Well, you know, I mean, you're exactly right. And so my father, was an incredible man, was an incredible man. A person of faith, didn't go to church. He was a person of faith, but he was the first one to tell you that he just wasn't going to go to church, considered a Catholic. My mom, completely the opposite, very devoted Catholic, at church every Sunday, or, you know, reads the Bible on a daily basis. So I got to see both sides, right? And I guess for me, for the longest time, I had my values. My father always taught us this is right, this is wrong, and it's really not that complicated.
Right.
But I guess the older I got and the more I read and you know, I think you mentioned it in the intro, once I started devoting myself to personal growth, I started reading more books and whatnot. And then at a conference, I met Vinny Fisher, which is the author of CEO Mindset, incredible person, incredible mentor. And he asked me a very important question that I'll never forget. He asked me, he goes, Alex, if you read so many books, why don't you read the Bible? Because he asked me, do you read the Bible? And I said, well, you know, sometimes I do. So
sometimes
you're like, you don't. I was like, no, I don't. And that kind of shifted things for me. It really made me think about what it is that I was doing. Here I am seeking advice and trying to get the best advice that I can from anybody that I can get my hands on. And you named a bunch of them, John Maxwell, Grant Cardone, Tony Robbins, you name it. And then I also noticed that there was always inconsistencies in my behavior. And I said, well, why is there so many inconsistencies in my behavior? Well, there's inconsistencies in my behavior because there's inconsistencies in my principles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you read one book and you start acting one way. You read another book and you start acting another way. And I think, incidentally, that's how I discovered what I now call the identity first theory, you know, which my theory states that identity should be the foundation of human development, because identity is the internal lens through which we interpret the world and the things and decisions and beliefs and everything that we do, right? And so I think, to me, everything starts with identity. And once I identified myself as a true Christian, then it was easy to understand which principles to follow, because you're going to read conflicting books and conflicting ideas and whatnot. But God is very consistent. I was very consistent. So if you want to stay consistent, just follow those principles. It's really that simple.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people, talking to a lot of people who are in that, kind of in that boat that we don't always take our faith seriously. And, you know, it takes me back to Revelation, the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church, which is fun because I didn't know this until I researched it recently. On one side of Laodicea, I forget if it's north or south, but on one side, there's these cold, refreshing waters. And on the other side are these hot springs that are therapeutic and healing. But the water in Laodicea is lukewarm. So when he called them the lukewarm church, it was kind of a play on words for Jesus. But I feel like we run into that problem in faith. I think everybody does. At some 100%. Point, you have to look back and be like, I am lukewarm, 100%. And I got to fix that.
Yep.
That is amazing. So obviously that conversation landed harder than most. So you picked up devotional, started the habit, haven't broken the streak since. But what changed in you? It's not just the routine, but I imagine you as a man changed.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to think so, you know, and I think that whenever people start thinking or talking about changing it, it can be a little bit scary for some. But I think that the reality is that I have changed. I'm still the same person that I was. I'm just an improved version, right? I'm not
there you go.
By any means perfect now or whatnot, but I do feel that I'm different because my faith has gotten so much stronger than it was just a few years ago. I see things very differently. I react to things very differently. And it has made a difference in almost anything that I do. My relationship with my kids, my relationship with my wife, you know, my habits. And it really is the pinnacle of personal development.
I love it.
You're looking for personal development. That's it. There's just no trick to it.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it was Zig Ziglar. Speaking of another leadership icon, I think Zig Ziglar talked about a story about, or he had a seminar on whether or not you respond to life or you react to life.
Correct.
And then the idea is that if you have medication and it's working, you're responding to it, you know? But if it's causing you more problems, then you're having a reaction to the medication. And that was how he, you know, I don't know why that reminded me of that, but.
I think you're absolutely right. And this morning, actually on the devotional, it was talking about what's inside of you, it's what's going to come out. And I think actually it was Zig Ziglar that also said this, right? He said, if you're walking around with a cup of coffee and somebody bumps into you and you spill that coffee, why did you spill that coffee? Most people will say, well, because somebody bumped into me. You know, or because I wasn't looking or I wasn't paying attention or whatnot. He says, no, you spilled coffee because you had coffee. Whatever's inside of you is what's going to come out. And if what you have inside of you is anger or stress or worry or whatever it is, if you're holding that inside of you, when somebody, you know, bumps into you, when your kid does something, your wife says something, or somebody cuts you off, that's what's going to come out. And I think that's a good way of looking at things. Once you start carrying something better inside of you, at least for the majority of the day, obviously, you know, we're not robots. We're emotional, and one minute we're okay, and another minute we're not okay. But the trick is to learn how to diffuse those moments when you're not okay and bring yourself back to a better place internally and mentally and emotionally so that you can have a better day and then better days, yeah, to better lives, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Another one, Zig Ziglar, that stuck with me is, if you see someone without a smile, give them one of yours.
I love that one. Oh, I'm going to use that one.
All right. Sorry, get off on a track there. I think you mentioned near the end of writing The Father's Forge, you hit a wall. And it wasn't because the words weren't there, but there was something worse than writer's block. Would you mind telling us about that?
So towards the very end, I started having the self-doubt, the limiting beliefs that really made me question whether I should even finish the book, let alone publish. I started thinking to myself, you know, well, I don't think it was me. I think it was a devil talking to me and telling
yes.
me nobody's going to read that book. And, you know, you're not a perfect father. You know, why should you even be writing about fatherhood? And not in a, you know, not in a challenging way, but more in a very defeating way, where it really made me question myself. And I think that really took me by surprise, because for the most part in my entire life, I've been an extremely confident person. You know, I've never been one to shy away from any challenge whatsoever. And yet writing this book, because it was a devotional and because it was about fatherhood, man, it really challenged me to the core, so much so that, I mean, there were mornings, because I wake up 4:30 in the morning to write. 4:30, 5:30 in mornings are best for me. That's when I feel most creative. It would bring me to my knees, literally, not figuratively speaking, but literally bring me down to my knees, crying. And I would put it away, of course. You know, I would succumb to that and just put it away and said, you know what, I'm not going to do this, and put it off for a week or two. But then I'd hear God telling me, nope, you got to finish it. You got to finish it. And here's the thing that I don't think we talked about last time, but I kept hearing, you've got to finish it now. You got to finish it now. You got to finish it now. Right. And so for some reason, I gave myself, or God gave me, the deadline to finish it by the first quarter of the year, which was, you know, at the end of March. And I, by the way, I failed. I didn't finish it over that, right? But I kept feeling this urge to keep going, And I would run into the same thing again. And, you know, nobody's going to read it. Who are you to be writing a book? And so I would put it down, but then I'd start over again. And it was just such a battle that it really started. I started questioning myself. I was like, why do I feel such a urge to finish it so quickly? Am I dying? Like, I literally started thinking to myself. I was like, okay, God, let's have a little conversation here. What's going on? I didn't understand it. I just knew that I had to finish it. Luckily, I finished it and published it by April 12th. So I was 12 days late. Sorry, God. But finished it, right? But I finished it. Now I feel that I know the reason. I didn't know it then, but my father was dying.
Yeah.
I didn't know it then. And I lost my father to cancer. Oh, my oldest son, who's only 19 years old, is now a father to be. The irony of things, right, was that I woke up one morning, because I had been giving people my book out, and of course I didn't give one to him because he wasn't a father yet, but. I had a dream that I needed to give that book to him. And so in the morning before he left to work, and I said, hey, son, I know you're not a father yet, but I just got to give you this book, you know, and someday it's going to help you. And I wrote it because of you and your brother. And I know this is prematurely, but I'm giving you this book. Well, that afternoon he found out he was going to be a father.
Wow.
So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think there was some divine intervention there, for sure.
Yeah, that's wild. Sorry, that threw me off. That's a great story, though. So your whole mission seems to be, or maybe your primary mission seems to be reaching the man who considers himself a Christian, but has basically gone quiet. No Bible, just kind of drifting. If you were to meet him on the street, what was the first thing you would say to him?
Don't be afraid. I think that religion could be a little scary, to be quite honest. I think going to church could be a little scary. And I know that for those of you guys that go to church and probably grew up going to church, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But for somebody that's never been to church or hardly ever goes to church, it's a little scary. You know, it's a little scary because you feel that, well, number one, it's kind of like going to the gym, right? You go to the gym for the first time. You've never worked out. You feel awkward. How do I act? What am I going to do or whatnot? So I don't think it's very different than that. But also, I also think that there is a misconception that you're going to be a completely different person. And it's kind of scary if you like who you are. You don't want to change, right? It's like, I don't want somebody to change me, but I don't really think it's that way. I think we are, part of who we are is God-given. So, and the other part is forged through the decisions that we make, right? And so I think it's the missing piece, you know? I really think that somebody that is dabbling with, should I read the Bible? Should I go to church? Should I not? You know, you're looking for something else. Don't overthink it, brother. Just pick up a Bible, start reading it, start having conversations. If you don't feel comfortable going to church just yet, then don't. Start reading the Bible. Start talking to God. You don't even need a Bible. Just start talking to God himself and start listening more than anything, right? Because we do a whole lot of talking. We do a whole lot of praying, but we don't do a whole lot of listening. And I think once you start listening to God, you're going to see that he's always talking to us. I used to snicker about people that said, well, God told me this. I'm like, really? You talk to God? You're telling me you talk to God? I used to laugh about stuff like that, but now I know that he does. He's just not in the sense that we always think, like, look, he didn't just show up knocking at my door, open the door, and there he is, right? But he does communicate with us, and it's so clear when you're looking for it, and so clear when you're listening.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there. Listening, I I've come to recently tell people, you know, that are in distress or they need something or they have questions. I'm like, pray to God and then listen. Listen carefully, because that's what we do. We toss up a prayer and then walk away and just wait for him to do something.
You know, and that's why I like doing my devotions in the morning. So really the prayer part of it is read a Bible verse and then reflect on it and say a little prayer. But the majority of the time is reflection. It's just literally just sitting in out there. And what I like to do, I like to sit outside my back porch with my coffee in the morning and just, you know, look at the birds and just listen, just like literally sit down and listen to what God is telling you. And
absolutely,
you'll be surprised what you hear.
Coffee with God, I love it. Okay, so what has fatherhood taught you about God?
Well, somebody that's not a father may have a hard time understanding this, but there's almost nothing more important than your son or your daughter, right? And I guess what fatherhood has taught me that, well, God loves us the same because he is our father, right? And when you think of God dying on a cross for us, if you're not a believer, you're like, why? Why would anybody do that? But if you're a father, you understand it. You get it. There's no doubt in my mind that any father would do it. And so I would say I'm not comparing myself to God, but if us as humans, as mortals, we would be able to do anything for our kids, can you imagine God for us?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's a great answer. Wow. It's got something to think about. I thought about that question and I'm like, there's so much that you learn being a father. You learn God is going to, he's going to take care of you. May not be the way you expect. He's not going to keep you from harm, but he'll be there when things go wrong. You know, he loves you. He's going to let consequences happen when you make bad decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the similarities, I mean, it's exactly the same thing because it is the same thing. It looks like the same thing because it is the same thing, right? Why does God still love us even though we fail and we disobey and we sin? Tell me one thing that your daughter would do that would make you stop loving her.
I can't think of anything.
You can't, right? And so whenever you start putting yourself in that situation, you're like, well, okay, now I get it. I get why God still loves us even though we're sinners. I get it why God's still there for us even though we're disobedient and we mess up. Or, I also get it why things don't always go my way, you know, because it's the way it's supposed to be. God knows better, just like Father knows best.
Yeah. I have a friend who always says, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him about your plans.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so Proverbs 22:6 tells us, start your children off in the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from you. Deuteronomy 6 tells us that fathers should impress God's command on their children, talking about it at home, on the road, in the morning and at night. So what do those passages look like in a real household with real chaos and real schedules, in your opinion?
Well, look, you can't hide who you are, right? And so in my book, I talk about how identity is partially is given and partially is forged, right? So part of it is what you're born with, your origins, you know, and the other part is the decisions that you make. So once you start living as a Christian, you don't even have to talk about it. It's going to show. It's going to show. Obviously, by the way, when you start living like Christian, you do talk about it. Right. But what I'm saying is your kids will always learn more from what you do than from what you say. Simple as that. You know, 100%. And I think that's not a secret. Everybody knows that your kids are not going to do what you tell them. They're going to do what you see. And it's very simple. If you want your kids to grow up with principles, you have to become a man of principles. And you have to live by those principles. That's why I created that are those two devotionals, one for fathers and one for sons. Because I didn't want to write a book that just gives out information. I'm an information junkie, and I'm very nerdy and can get into this theory and that theory. But what really matters is action, the action behind that knowledge that you have. And so my devotionals were meant to just give a person a daily guide. Just read that on a daily basis. And by default, you're going to be becoming that person. You're going to be acting what you're supposed to be teaching. And once you start acting that way, forget about how good of a teacher you are. They're going to get it. They're going to pick it up.
Coming from a teacher.
Coming from a teacher. Right.
So good segue. Let's talk about the book. When a father opens up a father's forged on day one, what is he going to be looking at? And what is the devotional going to be asking him to do?
My hope is that it's a reflection of them talking to themselves. So my book is really me talking to me. When I started writing A Father's Forge, it was basically grabbing everything that I've learned from books, religion, my father, myself, my own thoughts, and put it into something that my kids could actually read and learn, right? And then I would scratch things off because I was like, no, this doesn't make sense. Makes sense. And are this complex with this? And, you know, and I'm contradicting myself and whatnot, right? And so a Father's Forge is daily lessons, but each daily lesson is connected to a Bible verse. Now, I'm not explaining the Bible verse itself, and but I want everybody to understand that those principles are biblical principles. They're not coming from me. I'm not the standard, by the way. That's the first thing I want to say. Look, I wrote a book on fatherhood, but I'm not the standard, just so you know, right? I think I'm a great father. And I have a great relationship with my kids, with my wife. I had a great relationship with my father. So I don't feel that I don't have the credentials. I feel I do have the credentials, but I can also tell you that I'm by far not a perfect man. I am just as much of a sinner as most people are. And I don't want people to pick up the book and say, well, let me see, let me take a look at what this guy's done and see if I should follow him. Look, you're not following me. Don't follow me. Follow God, yeah. Follow Jesus. And if it's not my book, then read another one. But right, read something that is founded on biblical principles.
So
my book, that's what it is. Each day is a lesson based on a biblical principle.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so honest. If it doesn't come from me, get it somewhere.
Somewhere, right, yeah.
So the book is built around six pillars. I mentioned in the intro: identity, discipline, character, strength, leadership, and legacy. And I think it's specifically in that order. Is that right?
Right.
So why those? Why that sequence? I mean, how do we, how's the progress go through those walking as a father?
Sure. And I'm glad that you mentioned the sequence because it is important. One of the first questions that I got asked from somebody is like, well, there's no dates on this. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, I knew what? I was like, most devotionals has the dates, right? April 1st, April 2nd, and so forth. And I said, well, I specifically left out the dates because I don't want you to pick up my book and say, well, today is August 15th. Let's start with August 15th. No, you have to start with day one. So the first Father's Forge, it's the first 90 days, and in Forge Sons is the first 20 days. So everything starts with identity, and then identity is the first one. Second one is going to be discipline. The idea is that identity drives behavior. And I can make that argument from a biblical standpoint, which even in Genesis, God, created Adam and Eve in his own image. He gave them an identity before he even gave them any rules or tasks to do. So I do believe that identity should be the first pillar that we attack. It is extremely important that we know who we are because our identity becomes that internal lens through which we interpret life. And that drives our belief system. Our beliefs about the world and our beliefs about ourselves. Our beliefs drive our decision-making, which is, of course, your discipline. And then repeated actions become your habits. And then, of course, your habits become your character.
Character,
yeah. And so in my personal opinion, and I love leadership books, and I consider myself a leadership coach, and, I recently launched an official youth leadership academy here locally. I've been doing it for a while now, but not officially. But I preach identity first because I believe that that's the foundation. That's the starting point where everybody should begin. Because the most important thing that we can teach ourselves and our kids is how to make better decisions. I believe that the number one driving force that determines the course of our lives is the decisions that we make. Even God doesn't force us to do things. And that's what we sometimes fail as parents because we want to force our kids to be a certain way. But that's why God gave us free will. He gave us principles. He gives us rules and regulations, but he gave us free will to make choices.
Yeah, if you ever wanted a good example of a free will, try convincing a toddler to do something they don't want.
That's absolutely right. So first is identity. Identity drives your behavior, which is your discipline. And then your discipline, repeated actions become your character. And then you only have character when your belief system, your identity, and your discipline, your actions match. Mm-hmm. Once those two match, then you actually have character. After character, enough time, you start building strength, right? Because you do need to develop that strength. Doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, whether you're young, you're old, whether you've been a Christian your entire life or just new, you gotta be tested. Life is going to test you, right? And so we have to develop that strength to stay strong under pressure. In my personal opinion, once a person has a good sense of identity, once he's established good discipline, repeated actions, and he develops that character, then he develops that strength, now he's ready to lead somebody else, right? And so, and I'm saying that because I mentioned earlier that even I consider myself a leadership coach, and everybody wants to talk about leadership, and leadership is extremely important, but I think it's further down the line. First, you got to lead yourself. And I know that's part of leadership, leading yourself. But you're never going to be ready to lead others until you've developed those other four foundations, right? And then after leadership is legacy, the last one, which is, of course, legacy is not what you see on social media right now. Everybody wants to talk about, you know, how much money I made and what cars I drive or whatnot. That's not legacy. Legacy is not about what you've built, but who you've built, like who you've impacted. You know, just recently at my father's funeral, I was talking about his legacy. His legacy is the things that are going to continue because of him.
Yeah.
That's whether he's here or not. He's gone now, but what continues because of him is the closeness of the family, the Sunday gatherings. So we're getting ready again. Tomorrow we're going to be making menudo. We're going to get together at my mom's house and everybody comes over, my brothers and everybody comes over. And so it is extremely important for me and for my family to continue that legacy. But he makes it very easy for us because he did it our entire lives. And so now that he's gone, it continues. That's real legacy.
I look at legacy. You can tell me, think about this. I look at legacy as taking that leadership and the people you're leading, and you're leading them into identity, discipline, character, and strength.
Oh, I know that. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm glad you're saying that because it is cyclical, right? And so even my framework, it looks linear, but it's not, right? Because identity drives your behavior, behavior drives your decisions, which is your actions, but your repeated actions reinforce your identity.
So it is
cyclical.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine you don't just get to through character, strength, leadership, and you're done. No, you got to maintain it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Forge Sons. So this, I love this idea of having something for young men stepping out into their world. Tell us a little bit about that book. Who's it for? I mean, what age would you recommend giving it to a young man?
So Porch Sons is, I think it works best for college students, really. Specifically first year college students. I wrote it for my sons. My youngest son, I just dropped him off last week, or my wife and I, we just dropped him off last week in Missouri. And, you know, we're in South Texas, so we're 18, 19 hours away from that, right? And so this is the time of year where all the parents are dropping off their kids, and it is just a rite of passage that is extremely beautiful and extremely rewarding, but also painful. You know, if we can be real about it, it is painful. It's the end of an era that we no longer have them at home. They're somewhere else. This is the test, right? Like this is where everything that we've taught them, okay, you know, did I do enough, right? And so I created that book as a way, as a reminder. I remember in my college days, you know, I left to the University of Houston, and for the first time I'm in a big city, and I'm in awe and I'm in shock, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing, right? And so you start falling into that trap that this is new, this is bigger, faster, better, and you start thinking that everything that you're seeing or experiencing is better than what you had back at home, or better than, oh, my parents don't know. What are they talking about? This makes more sense, and so forth, right? And so I wanted to find a way that they could continue, help them with that strength. This is where they're going to be tested. They're on their own. Freedom is going to expose your kids. It's going to expose how strong or how weak they are. And I wanted to give them a little bit of help, you know, if he's reading that devotional and he says that he is, if he's reading that portion, it's really going to help him anchor down his belief system. And also make them feel like, you know what, mom and dad are still here. You know, mom and dad are for me, are with me. And I hope that a lot of students pick up that book so that it can help them. Because I know how scary going to college can be. I know it's fun. I know it's exciting. But I also know that it's a scary time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny.
I had four kids, right?
I lead a class at my church for preteens, you know, fourth, fifth grade kids. And I ran across some statistics that just astounded me, that children raised in a Christian home after high school graduation, 50% of them walk away from the faith. And another research showed that it's a 5-to-1 ratio. You need 5 adults helping these teenagers, lead them into their future, to keep them in the church, to keep them committed to Jesus. And I'm just like, wow, that's a big job.
And it's scary. I mean, you know, for me, it's scary. It's scary for me to think that, wow, you know, I don't know who's going to be in his ears now, right? And there's 6 forces that are always fighting for your identity. 6 forces. And if you're not aware of them, then they're going to influence you one way or another. Now, these are forces that influence who we are, but we have the power, because we have the power to choose, right? But I also think it's very important for parents and students to understand. The first one is your origins, right? Like who you're born, the family that you're born into, your socioeconomic status. So the idea that, well, because I'm first generation to go to college, then maybe I don't have what it takes. Or because I don't come from a rich family, then, you know, maybe I wasn't meant to be successful. There's a whole lot of different things, right? But the other one is performance. And performance is a big one. You know, kids in high school, if they perform well in something like football or anything, then that means that they're worth something. And if they're not performing well, that means that they're not worth something. And and those are fake, you know. You cannot base your identity based on performance, because your performance is going to, you know, have peaks and valleys. That's just the way it is, you know.
Yeah.
And our value doesn't, you know. We're as valuable right now as the day that we were complete sinners, right? And I know for some people it doesn't really make sense, but ask God, ask a parent, you know, just because your kid messes up doesn't mean they change in value.
Right.
And there's a lot of other ones, right? Like culture, you know, culture is a big one. And so really depending on what school they land in, what state and what city, it's a different culture. So that's also going to be fighting for their identity. And of course, their purpose. They're trying to figure out their purpose. And that's why I always like to start with identity, because even in high school, and by the way, who, you know, when you're asking me who's this book for, well, this one was specifically written for college students. But just so you know, Father's Ford, sorry, and Ford's Sons, it's the same book, basically. It's the same principles. They all fall under the same 6 pillars, right? It's the same ones. It's just taught differently. That's something I learned as a teacher. It's called differentiated instruction. The way I teach identity to Jason, it would be a different way that I would teach it to Jason's daughter.
Yeah.
Right?
That makes sense.
And so when a father picks up, you know, a Father's Forge, he's going to get it.
But if a kid picks it up, they're not going to get it.
Poor sons, because it makes sense, right? I'm even talking about, for example, you're on your own. Nobody's telling you to wake up for a class and whatnot. So I am in the process of rewriting that book for high school students and middle school students also, and eventually elementary.
I look forward to that. So let's plug you. If somebody wanted to connect with you, bring you in to speak or to work with you through Real You Consulting, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, they can go to my website and check it out first. All the contact information is on there. My website is alexlopezofficial.com. Right. And there's so many Alex Lopez's in the world.
But you're the official one.
I'm not trying to make myself sound important or anything like that, but alexlopez.com wasn't taken, right? So it's alexlopezofficial.com. And if they go to that website, they can learn about my books, about me, and of course, contact information, book a call, and all that.
Awesome. So if you're listening and what you heard today resonates with you, Fathered Forged, his books are on Amazon right now. If you've got a son heading to college or stepping out into the world for the first time, pick up Forged Sons as well. Alex also works with fathers and leaders through his Real You Consulting. So I'll make sure the website and everything's in the show notes. So if you didn't catch that, just go to the notes or description and click the links. It's easy. I make it easy on everyone. You can find more at his website, as he mentioned. So definitely go there and check things out. Alex, this has been a blast. Thank you for being here and the work that you're doing. Do you have any final words for the listeners?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for having me here. And I think that the work you're doing is just phenomenal. I think just
thank you.
Bringing people together and sharing their message is such a huge, huge benefit for all your listeners and for everybody out there. And so what I would tell anybody is this: if you're looking to improve your lifestyle, your marriage, your relationship with your kids, any area of your life that you want to improve, start with yourself, right? I really think that you need to work on yourself before you work on anything else. And people always ask me, any book recommendations? First one, definitely the Bible. I always used to throw out books like, Think and Grow Rich.
Or, right.
Which is great books, right? John Maxwell has so many books, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership and all those books. Those are all great. Pick them up. There's just so many books. But the first one you should pick up is the Bible, or pick up a devotional. If you want to start small like me and get an app like the Bible app, Glorify app, something like that, makes it very simple. But the key is going to be consistency.
I love that. That image of wisdom diluting from one generation to the next, of fathers passing on less than they receive simply because nobody ever gave them a system. That's going to stick with me. And the fact that you built something to kind of break that cycle, one page at a time, rooted in scripture, that's the kind of resources that fathers need right now, especially for sons.
Absolutely.
To everyone listening, Fathers Forge, Forge Sons, both on Amazon, go find them. One page a day is all it takes to start building something that your sons will carry. Connect with Alex and find out more about his coaching and workshops if you're interested in that. And until next time, keep loving your neighbors, dive into God's Word daily. May the Lord bless you and keep you and fill you with His peace. Take care. God bless. I'll see you in the next episode. You've been listening to the My Ministry Mission podcast, hosted by me, Jason McConnell. If today's episode spoke to you, I'd love for you to like, follow, or subscribe me on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss what's next. Be sure to check out this episode's show notes for links and resources from today's conversation. And my prayer for you is this: keep walking with Christ, trusting His plan, and living out the mission God has placed in your heart.